Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. You know, guys, every day you and I, we're faced with a multitude of choices. Do you ever wonder, though, what is the right thing to do? When you think about all of the choices that we face, and experts tell us that the average adult actually faces 35,000 choices in one day, in every single day. We have to choose between this option and that option. And some of those choices, that they happen almost mindlessly, like breathing. Praise God, you chose to breathe, okay? But other things give us pause. They make us wonder, what is the right thing to do? Some of these choices, they're really big, and we know they will impact us for years to come. Like, do I take this job or do I take that job? Do I buy this house or that one? Should I marry this person or not? Should we have another child or not? And other choices, they seem less important. Like, should I take New Cut Road or Alton Greenhill Road on the way home? Which one do I go, right? Both of them will get me there, so but I have some choice there. Some of them seem less significant, like, am I going to drink Coke or Dr. Pepper with lunch? Or do I want chicken or do I want steak? But other choices in our life, guys, they have a more moral nature. Do I tell the truth in this situation or do I lie? Do I fudge on my timesheet to get that extra money that my family needs or not? Do I cheat on this test by looking off my neighbor's paper or not? And so all day, every day, you and I are faced with choices, and God calls us to do the right thing. How about the question of worshiping Jesus? You see, some of you have walked in this morning wondering, should I worship Jesus? Should I? Maybe you're kind of on the fence this morning. Maybe you've come in this morning, you're kind of seeking whether or not Jesus is real, whether God is real. Or maybe you've come in asking this question, should I worship Jesus with all my heart? Now, you would never say that out loud. If you're a Christian, you would never say that out loud. But your life declares that you're asking this question. Because it's only on your terms. It's only when it's convenient for you. There's no real passion in your worship for Jesus. And so maybe you've come in, you're not worshiping, or you're either half-hearted worshiping. And so everybody has to face this choice every day. Should I worship Jesus or not? And as we come into the Easter season and open up this morning with the traditional Palm Sunday text, I want you to understand that out of the choices that you face every day, some of them hard, some of them easy, a very clear and easy answer to the question, should I worship Jesus, is right here in our text this morning. Which leads us to today's truth. And here's today's truth I want you to take away from this text. It's this: it's always right to worship Jesus Christ. It's always right to worship Jesus Christ. If you're going to do the right thing, then worshiping Jesus is the right thing to do. As Jesus rode in on that donkey on this first Palm Sunday here in Jerusalem, there were some folks there who understood that it's always right to worship Jesus, who worshiped him with all of their hearts, but there were others that you'll see here in the text that didn't. In fact, they commanded Jesus to rebuke his worshipers. Not only were they not worshiping Jesus, but they didn't want anybody else to worship him either. But Jesus declared to them that the people who were worshiping him were doing the right thing. It's always right to worship Jesus. And if they didn't, then the rocks would cry out in worship in their place. Take a look with me. Luke 19 here, beginning in the 28th verse. We're going to read down. Here's what the Word of God says. And when Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount of that's called Olivet, he sent two disciples saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you'll find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said to him, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the ground. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, or that they had seen, saying, blessed is he, or blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Did you see here in our text this morning the two sides of the should I worship Jesus question? You have Jesus riding into Jerusalem on this donkey colt, as had been prophesied hundreds of years ago in Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus is coming in. And on one side of the should I worship Jesus question are the people laying their cloaks on the road before him as he was coming in. This was a sign of honor and praise and homage, devotion to the one who is riding over their cloaks. They were saying, we are your subjects. We are yours. We'll follow you. We'll honor you. And they began to shout. They began to praise Jesus as he was coming. They cried, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Or as it says here in the text, it says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. They were praising Jesus like crazy. Other texts tell us that they were waving palm branches, which was a sign of peace, and laying the palm branches. That's where we get Palm Sunday, laying them on the road on the way in to Jerusalem. And so that was one side of the should I worship Jesus question. But then on the other side, you have the Pharisees. Here are these guys, stone-faced, stone-cold-hearted, angry that what they're seeing, and they're having none of it, right? In fact, they walked right up to Jesus as he was riding by on his donkey and demanded that he tell the crowd to knock it off. Stop praising him. Teacher, they said, rebuke your disciples. So we have two reactions here to this one event. Two reactions to Jesus riding into Jerusalem on this donkey. One reaction is, this is praiseworthy. Jesus is praiseworthy. And the other reaction is, this is awful. This should stop. Jesus is not worthy of this praise. And so the question is, who was doing the right thing? And Jesus gives us the answer. In our final verse of this text here, Luke 19:40, Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, pointing to the people in the crowd, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. In other words, the right thing to do is to worship Jesus. It's always right to worship Jesus. And so to help us to think on this truth this morning, I want to ask two questions. Why and how? Why and how? First, why? Why is it always right to worship Jesus Christ? And the express answer is this, is that everything was made to worship him. Everything was made to worship him. We learn this expressly in Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16, speaking about Jesus, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this. For by Jesus, that him there in the text is Jesus. For by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Let me say that again. All things were created through him and for him. So everything was created through him. He was the means by which creation came into existence. And everything was not just created through him, but it was created for him. Guys, that means that everything in creation was made for his glory, for his honor, for his praise. We read in just the next verse, in verse 17, Colossians 1, and Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Guys, that means, it's actually going to use the word later in Colossians, he's preeminent. That means he's first, he's the best, he's the greatest. He is above all things because all things were created through him and all things were created for him. All of creation, everything that exists, owes its very existence and its continued existence to him. And here's the deal this morning. All of the non-human parts of creation get this perfectly. All of the non-human parts of creation get this perfectly. They respond in worship. Listen to Psalm 148, verses 1 through 10. He listened to creation praising God. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, of course, is God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all of his angels. Praise him, all of his hosts. And here we go with non-human creation. Of course, we already mentioned the angels, non-human creation. But here we go, verse 3, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling this world. Mountains and hills and fruits and trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying fish. Everything here we see was made to worship him. And that's why we see in the text here with Jesus in Luke 19, the rocks were ready at the moment's call. They were ready to burst forth miraculously and praise Jesus. But so were the other things, right? So were other things. It's right to worship Jesus. And if the people didn't cry out, Jesus said, these rocks will. Yet there are people here today who are part of creation who refuse to do so. We see it here in the text with the Pharisees. But guys, it didn't just happen then. It happens today. Maybe even there's someone here today, even in this worship gathering, who is refusing to worship Jesus. If the rest of creation gets it, why don't you? If the ants and the honeybees and the giraffes and the whales, if they get it, and if the sun and the moon and the stars and the very stones lining the highway there, if they get it, why don't you? They gladly, with all of their being, worship God. Why don't you? It's always right to worship Jesus Christ, but it's especially right for you and me as human beings. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Jesus didn't come here. He didn't come to Jerusalem just to hang out. He was on a mission. He was coming into Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins. You see, for the previous 33 years or so, he had lived the life that you and I cannot live. He had lived that sinless life. He had perfectly kept the law of God. He'd earned heaven for everyone who'll believe on him. And of course, juxtaposed to that, said opposite of that, is us in comparison to Jesus, who has not lived a sinless life. We're all sinners who've earned death and hell. That's what we've earned. Some of us, let's just be real, are greater sinners than others. But it only takes one sin. And so in this, we are equal. Regardless of the amount of sin that we have sinned in our life, we are equal, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, because it only takes one sin to condemn us righteously from God, all right? But Jesus had come to save us. As you think about the mission, why was he riding in on this donkey? He was on a mission to save us from our condemnation. You see, he had earned heaven for us, but now he was coming to Jerusalem to pay hell for us. He was coming to die on the cross, the death that you and I deserve. In our place, condemned, he stood. And after dying that horrible death, 3 days later, he was raised from the dead to prove that there is salvation in his life and in his death for all who will believe. But you need to understand this morning that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to not save rocks. He wasn't coming to save rocks. He wasn't coming to save puppy dogs or to save tigers or whatever else you could think about. He only came to save human beings. Sinners like you and like me. And if the rocks were ready to praise him, then surely every single one of us as human beings should praise him. It's always right to worship Jesus. He is so worthy, y'all, of our worship. So that's the why. That's the why. But what about the how? That brings us to our second question this morning. How are we to worship Jesus Christ? And the answer I want to give you this morning is threefold. It's this: turn from sin, trust in Jesus, and follow him in a life of worship. Let me give it to you again. Threefold: turn from sin, trust in Jesus, and follow him in a life of worship. Let's break that down. You see, our worship begins when we realize that our sin is fool's gold. It's fool's gold. We think it's valuable. We think it's good. But in the end, it's bad and it's worthless. And while our sin can give us some fleeting pleasure, it has no eternal value. It's eternally destructive because it leads to death in hell. And so the first step to worshiping Jesus Christ is to realizing how ugly your sin is and how serious your sin is, and to turn from it. And listen, we don't just need to turn from sin, right? We're not just trying to be a better person, right? You've been through that program before. You do it every year, resolution time. Yeah, I'm just going to be a better person this year. No, we need to become a forgiven person, a saved person. And so we turn from sin and we trust in Jesus. That's the second thing. Turn from sin, trust in Jesus, trust in his sinless life, trust in his sacrificial death, and trust in his amazing resurrection. I can't wait till next Sunday. Listen, trusting not in your works at all. I mean, what can you do? What can wash away your sin? You can't, but Jesus can. And you put your entire hope completely in his work, his life, his death, his resurrection. And I want to say, some of you need to do that this morning. There's no doubt in my mind there is somebody here who's never turned and trusted Jesus. Or maybe you've been playing games and you've been coming to church like you have, but really you never have. You've never committed your life to him. You've never really admitted you're a sinner, believed on the Savior, and committed your life to him as Lord of your life. Lord of your life. And you need to understand, you can never worship Jesus until you have turned from sin and trusted in Jesus. But then finally, that third aspect, how do you worship Jesus? Is you follow him in a life of worship. Guys, worship is more than a song. It's more than an hour on Sunday morning. You worship him with you worship him with your life. It's a lifestyle. Romans 12:1 expressly points us to this. I appeal to you, therefore, Paul writes, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Guys, we have physical worship where we sing and where we do good deeds, but our life itself is an act of worship. And some of you, you've turned from sin and you've trusted in Jesus, but you've not yet comprehended what it means for your life 24/7. to be a thing of worship. Total devotion to God. Total life joy. Total life sacrifice, given the entirety of who you are to the one who made you and saved you. This is not a half-hearted calling. It is a full-hearted devotion to God where we live life to the fullest. And let me say this. The life lived to the fullest is the life lived closest to Jesus. I'm going to say it again because some of you need to hear this. The life lived to the fullest is the life lived closest to Jesus. Worshiping Him with everything you are. Beloved, it's the right thing to do. And so my final prayer this morning is this. May we with our mouths and with our lives cry out in passionate praise for Jesus this Easter season so that the rocks can sit by silent.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.